Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, today's daf is daf Nun Gimel. Coming towards the end of an hour, Shinis Patata, two more daf. As from tomorrow, we finish the parak. But today, we are on the bottom of Nun Beis, Amud Beis. But just for a few minutes, something that I referred to yesterday that we didn't get to discuss. And that is, there is a Machlokas Gaonim. Machlokas Gaonim, whether Ksubis Banin Dichrin should apply Bizman Hazeh. Ksubis Banin Dichrin, the Takana that the money that the wife brings into a marriage given to her by her father, the dowry, goes to her sons, even if she dies first. And really, there's no, her ksuba is not collectible because she died first, so her husband yarshins her. When he dies, the takana is that the money that her father gave her, besides the regular ksuba money from her husband, that goes to her sons, even though her husband has five other wives and they each have a bunch of kids. It's not split up all equally because we want the father to be able to give a nice amount and he wants to have confidence that it's going to his grandsons. So that's why that was the takana d'rabbanan. So does that takana apply bizman hazeh? So that is a major machlokas gaonim. The Rush here quotes it. The Rush in Simen Chav Dalet quotes Rav Matisyahu gaon zal haya omer she'ein daning su'ez banadechem bizman hazeh. Rav Matisyahu gaon says no. There's no ksubis banin dichrin today. Why? Since the reason for this takana was that the father gives a nice dowry to his daughter. Nowadays, people get plenty. People get plenty anyway. You don't need this takana. So that's why the takana doesn't apply anymore. All the gaonim get into the action here. The Rush quotes about different gaonim on both sides. El Adamar, Rav Haigon Amar, Heichem Evali Rabbanim Ksubis Banin Dichrin. Rav Haigon argues later on the next column, about the fifth line, how could the Rabbanim be Mavato Ksubis Banin Dichrin? What happened to it? V'Rabbeinu Meir Kasev Dinir Aloka Divir Rav Haigon. Rabbi Meir says like Rav Haigon, the Ritzbah also says Ksubis Banin Dichrin should apply Bizman Hazeh. Kiva de Tiktuch Ksuba Gavi Mimetatli, who would think Ksubis Banin Dichrin? Does like Ksuba get Ksuba? Ein Lakar Takanas Chachamim, says Rabbi Meir Halevi, Rabbi Meir Yona. Major machlokas hagaon. And the question that we could ask is, find the Shitas that say it's knowing Bizman Hazeh, that's not a problem. But according to the Shitas of the Gaonim that say it's not knowing Bizman Hazeh, so how could they make that decision? As the other Gaonim ask on them, how could he be Oker Takana Rabbanan? Right, if a Rabbanan make a Takana, we usually have the principle, beginning of Beseches Beitza, quotes the Mishnah Idias, right, you need a Gadol Mimeno B'chach B'Binyan. Right, right, a bezin can't be bevatel a previous takana, even if the reason doesn't apply anymore. So how could they get rid of a takana? So we mentioned back in Beis, I think Daf Hey or so, the Chiddush of the Koheles Yaakov, which Rav Schechter has in his Sefer and Eretz Tzvi and Simen Yutes. The Koheles Yaakov says that there are two types of gzeiros and takanas d'rabbanan. Sometimes there's a gzera takana of low plug, meaning there's a reason for every takana and for every gzera. But the question is, did the Rabbanan formulate the reason as part of the takana? Or did they say, no, here's the takana. The reason? No, that was the motivation of the takana. But the reason is not part and parcel of the takana. Only if the reason is part and parcel of the takana would we have the ability to say, or any bezdin, if the reason doesn't apply anymore, then the gzera doesn't apply anymore. But if the reason is not part and parcel, then you can't say that. So that's how you know, says the Koheles Yaakov, the author of the Mishnah Yaakov, or Yaakov Mikarliner, that's how you know whether a gzera is allowed to be uprooted, even if the gzera was uprooted. Then the next question is, so how do you know? How do you know which gzera or takana has the reason formulated in it, so that if the reason doesn't apply anymore, the gzera doesn't apply anymore? And how do you know it's one that, no, it's this is the gzera, this is the takana, and forget the reason. So how do you know the difference between the two? So Rav Schechter suggests, I think this is Rav Schechter talking now, and I don't think this is the Koheles Yaakov. It depends. If you have a gzera that's uprooting a dinda oraisa, so then you have the chazal don't have the power to just wipe out a dinda oraisa. They have the power, b'shev al taseh, but only on a temporary basis. Meaning, they have to put the reason into the takana. And lu yitzuyer, let's say one day there'll be a reason not to have the gzera anymore, then the mamela will be uprooted. Because you can't totally uproot a din daraisa. And what would he quote? If you were writing this, what would he quote? The Tazanuch is Rosh Hashanah. You can't uproot totally a din daraisa. Even though there's a gzera not to play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Chazal can't say can't blow shofar ever. Because shofar is a musical instrument. They can't say that. It goes against the mitzvah daraisa. Only shofar when it falls out on Shabbos. Fine. But Reis Rav Shachter explaining the Koheles Yaakov that if it's going against the Din D'Oraisa, then Memela it could be uprooted once the reason doesn't apply anymore. So you have to look at all these cases, and he gives a number of examples. First one is our Machlokas Gaonim. What did the Gemara say at the end of yesterday? Ksubas Banadichrin is a little controversial. Why? It's uprooting the mitzvah of Yerusha. It's a mitzvah D'Oraisa of Yerusha. That's why we're going to have a whole story today, that there was some Rabbanan that were scared of doing it, because they were mevatel the mitzvah D'Oraisa of Yerusha. So once it's going against that, so that's the sheet that those Gaonim. You know, those Gaonim say that, Memela, once the reason doesn't apply anymore, their fathers give a lot of money anyway, so then you don't need a bezet to be a mevatel. It's batel Memela. One example. Yep.
We're based
on Yantav Sheni,
right? We're uprooting mitzvah of tefillin.
That is uprooting the mitzvah of tefillin. That's a good question. I mean, the poskim don't talk about that, you know, because that's more originally that was a stake at the Yoma.
Now
it's minog, but that might be different because it started out as sveika de yoma. That might be a different. That was a savi daraisa. So it might have a different status. Right, that's where it comes up originally. The sveika de yoma that we do it at the end of that sugya. So it wasn't at the beginning where that came up. Second example: the Rush quotes a tshuva. The Rush has a tshuva. Tshuva is a Rush that's quoted in the poskim that in earlier times in Bizman HaGemara. Chazal made a gzeira. You aren't allowed to wear a beged of pishtan, a flax beged with woolen tzitzis. If you wore a flax beged, you did not have to put tzitzis on. Unbelievable. Four corners, Chazal say, no tzitzis. Why? Because in those days, people had a fake tcheles. They would give you woolen tzitzis with fake tcheles called kala de ilan. People used to put it on their beged, and we know that you're only allowed to wear real tcheles. Which is blue wool or green wool, whatever the color is, on a flax beged, which is really shatnez. It's really shatnez, but you're allowed to do it if you're fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraisa. If you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis d'oraisa, b'shlei musa, you're allowed to do that. So people were doing shatnez and they weren't doing the mitzvah, right? They were wearing shatnez b'kumbasei. So Chazal said it's better to wear a four corner garment, a flax, without wearing a tzitzis. They were oker the din of tzitzis. So again, the Rush says bizmanenu she'en lanu tcheles lo shayach atam. So therefore, you're allowed to wear these types of a garment and put the tzitzis on, right? So that's another example of a gzera that's mevutal memela. Yeah. Duchening, right, exactly. Remember that duchening case. The Beis Yosef discusses, let's say a Kohen has blemishes on his hands. So is he allowed a duchen? So you look in the early Rishonim and they say no, because it's going to cause people to look at them, to not have kavanah during duchening. So the Beis Yosef quotes, Bizman Azeh, when we put our talus on our hands, the Kohanim, they could duchen. Isn't there a gzera they can't duchen? No. Because that was a gzera that uprooted a mitzvah. If it uprooted a mitzvah, so then it does not apply. Another example, two more. That's the shofar on Shabbos. The Mishnah Brura in the Bir Halacha has a tzorach iyun, a question he does not answer, where he says Bizman Azeh, where there are many places where there's not a rishus aravim daraisa, there's no more rishus aravim daraisa. So why don't we have shofar on Shabbos? There's no gzeir shem yaviranu tzorach iyun. And the question that the later mafarshim asked in the Mishnah Brura is, what do you mean? What's the kasha? What do you mean? Chazal made gzeir shem yaviranu. How can you say that you do the mitzvah because the reason doesn't apply anymore? And again, the same svar applies. Chazal had to put the reason into this gzeir or takana because it went against the mitzvah d'oraisa. The last portion in this siman yotes and eretz tzvi is what about medicine on Shabbos? That's a discussion. We know it's a big discussion in the poskim. Generally, we say that even though the reason does not apply anymore, even though some places in Africa still grind their medicines, but really the reason does not apply anymore of gzeirah shechikah samamanim, the gzeirah still applies. And the question that the Rav Shachter ends with is, isn't this being oker the din of oneg Shabbos? Right? If somebody has a mechush that they can't take medicine for, and they're suffering somewhat, if they're really suffering, if they're no fellow mishka, they can take the medicine. But if it's mechush ba'alma, they cannot take the medicine. That's the whole point of the gzeira. So isn't that being mevatel adin? It's only din d'rabanan. That's why it's different. It's not a din d'oraisa. So he goes back and gives different svaras why that is. He's not suggesting that it should be. The poskim say it's not. So he goes by what the svaras should be, in this case by refuah. In this case, by Refuah B'Shabbos. Okay, that is a discussion from yesterday, why there are some Gaonim, and how there are some Gaonim that can say Ksubas Ban Adichrin is not Noeg B'Zan Azeh. Yeah?
Only where you're not
The takana is shayach only when you're not mavatil the Yerusha, but the question is, but that is correct. But the poskim, they still look at it, as the Gemara alluded to yesterday. You're still being ma'avir nachla. You don't look at every, you know, even if you have a dinar that's going to be split up, the Yerusha, you're still being mavatil the mitzvah and all the rest of the stuff. A person like we're going to have today, you're not supposed to be ma'avir nachla even if you're going to leave a little bit. Right, which means that there's a mitzvah not just on, you know, you're being yotzei the mitzvah, you're right, there's a limit. That's what the Gemara said the last time we read yesterday. You're not being okerit totally, but you're still being okerit. Still being okerit partially. You don't look at just because you're fulfilling it with one little part of your nechassim that it's okay. It's not the same thing. Say, well, I'm sorry. Shofar on Shabbos of that day is totally being mevatel. There's no daraisa shofar this year. If shofar falls out, not this year, I'm just saying, if shofar, if Rosh Hashanah will fall out on Shabbos, that year, there's no daraisa. Okay, now let's get back to our sugya. Three lines from the bottom on Nun Beis Mabes. Continuing the discussion of Tu'as Ban and Dechar. Rav Papa Yasek Lelebrei, Be Abba Sarah. Rav Papa was marrying off his son to Be Abba, in the house of Abba Sarah. Rashi explains that Abba Sarah was his father-in-law, and he was marrying off a daughter to a sister-in-law, so it's got to be a daughter from a different marriage, or else that'll be his aunt. But either way, he was there getting ready to marry off his daughter, and he went to his father-in-law's house, marrying off his daughter to get a ksuba written. So he was ready, as we know, he was going to put in his two. He was the daughter, so he was going to arrange this whole. It was his son, so he was going to be Abba Sarah, because he was going to get Abba Sarah to give a nice dowry, right? And this was his son, he was arranging the ksuba. So Shama, Yehuda Bar Maremar, heard that Rav Papa was going, nothing, Asa is Chazoyle. So he goes out to meet him. A big Reb is coming, so he goes to meet Rav Papa. Kimata Lepischa, so they came to the door of Yehuda Bar Maremar, Havikam Biftar Mineh. All of a sudden, Yehuda Bar Maremar is trying to leave. Yehuda Bar Maremar says, Rav Papa, it's great to see you, but I can't go in with you. What are you doing? Come inside with me. Rav Papa saw that he was not interested in coming in with him. My daitech, why don't you want to come in with me? Is it because Rav Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shinna, you smart one, Lotevi bavuri achsanta, don't be among those who pass their nachla away from their proper yorshim. Even from, let's say you have one son that's a good boy, always does his work, and he's successful, and another one that's a bisha, somebody who's not always on the straight path. So the Chazal say, don't switch nachlus. Why? You don't know what the grandchildren are going to look like. You know, don't try to outsmart the Torah. The Torah says Yerusha, you know, so don't try to pass over them. So says the Gemara, because this is still Rav Papa talking to Yehuda Bar Maremar. So are you worried about that din? The Kalshagin mi brola barta, and you worried that here I'm about to go ask him to write Subas Banadichrin, to give in a lot for the dowry, which basically is taking away Yerusha from his sons and giving it from the sons of his future son-in-law and giving it to his daughter? So you're worried that this is a violation of Ha'avaras Nachla? But let me tell you, Hainami Takana Drabanani. Didn't you learn the Mishnah in Ksubis? Right? Do you remember that? This is another Takana Drabanan of Ksubis Banadichrin. Damer Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? Question mark. Right? Yesterday's Takana. They made this Takana for the betterment, so fathers give dowries to their daughters. So you're telling me it's a Din Daraisa, but the Rabbanan made a Din Darabanan to override the Din Daraisa. So why are you scared? Why don't you want to come inside with me? So Amar Lei. Hani Mili, so let's finish the conversation and then we'll get back to that line. Hani Mili mi daite. Fine if somebody wants to give their own voluntary switching the nachla to the daughter, fine. La suyinami, but we're forcing him. We're going in, we're forcing him from the word ma'usa. We have get ma'usa as a force get. So la suyinami, you're forcing him. So I'm like, atumika imna lecha de'ol va'asya. I'm telling you to come in and enforce him. Ovalotasi kamin, I just want you to keep me company. I don't want you to force anybody. Amarlay, he said, Rav Papa, I'm sorry, but my LDD, Hainu Asiya, my coming in will force him. You know, just my presence there. I guess he was a big rabbi in the community. You think of the mashal. You want somebody to be honored at the dinner. You know, when you bring the big guns to the person's house, you know, they're trying to make it tough. I'm just sitting here. I'm not doing anything. Right, but when they bring the big guns, you know, they're not giving a choice to the person. So he said, my presence is gonna force. So what happened? So Achlivos, he went in and, Rav Papa forced him to come in. Rashi's Bidvar, he forced him to come in with the V'ol, and he came in. Ishik V'yasev, he didn't say a word, he just sat there. Yehuda bar Mimra just sat there. He didn't say a word. Savar, so the father-in-law, Abba Sarah, thinks, Hahu, Mersach Rasa. He thinks, he's angry with me. He's not saying a word to me. It must be I didn't give enough. I can't believe it. What he's so angry about. Kasvei l'komai d'havila. He wrote his whole fortune. He wrote his whole fortune to his daughter. And the guy's still not saying a word. So l'sof ar malayash and amil amashtoy mar. What, you're still not talking? What do you want from me? What do you want from me? I gave all of my nechasim. I didn't leave anything for myself. I don't know what you want from me. So Amalei, so now finally Yehuda opens his mouth and says, if it was up to me, I'm not happy that you wrote anything in my honor. You know, I have nothing to do with it. I'm not angry because of you. I was just here quietly. I don't want to force you to do anything. Amalei, Hashanami Hajrabi. Really? Okay, can I go back on my word? I don't want to give all this stuff. Should I go back on my word? So Amalei, no. But Yehuda says, sorry, once he wrote it, Shabya Nafsha Khajrana lo kamina. I don't want you to have reflect on yourself that you're one who goes back on their word. You know, once you write it, sorry that you got the misimpression from my behavior, but you can't go back on your word. End of story. The Hafla notes asked, you know, if you find in other Gemaras that a chozer mimatana is not called a person who goes back on his words. If I promise to give you a gift, what we would call an Indian giver, but not even, right? An Indian giver is somebody who gives it and then wants it back. But even before, let's say you promise to give a gift. So he quotes other Gemaras where it says, seems like, you know, it's not so bad. You're not considered somebody who goes back on their word. If you promise to sell something to somebody, okay. But a gift is all from you. So you're not considered somebody who's chozer mi milsei. So the Hafla says it must be here that it's different. Because if you're writing in an exuba, you know, then a person is really being so merdas. It's not a matana. It's not really looked at as a matana. This is exuba. It is a matana. Exuba is not different, but it's still something different. People are really so mech on the words. That's what the person should not be, somebody who goes back on their words. The Gemara about Metzia has specific cases where a person goes back on their words, they're subject to a curse of Mishapara. But again, this is not talking about that case. That's somebody who goes back on their words later in the stage of the transaction. This is just somebody, even once you commit, says Rav Yehuda bar Maimar, you should not go back on your words. Okay, so the Gemara brought up here the concept of somebody who's maver nachlas. There are different discussions in various places of people who are maver nachla. In the Avos Rabbi Nasan, the story is told of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, that his father told him, Hyrcanus told Eliezer, kol nachasai nesudim lecha b'matana. All my possessions are yours. All my possessions are yours. Amar lehu Rabbi Eliezer, harahim alaik acherim, vein yela shavibam ka'achi. No, I only want as much as my brothers. They're all like acherim. I'm going to give them all to the Beis HaMikdash. The Mefarshim there on the Avos Rabbi Nasan is parallel to the Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos, though, is only 6 prakim. Avos Rabbi Nasan is about 30. So for every line in Pirkei Avos, the Avos Rabbi Nasan has about 3 Mishnayos for every line. That's why it's much more expansive, and you got fascinating stories there. If you're ever doing Pirkei Avos and see a Mishnah that you want to do more research on, you can look in the parallel of Avos Rabbi Nasan, which appears at the end in the back of your regular Maseches Avodah Zarah. So there, in Perek Vav, it has this story, and the Mefarshim there ask, how could Hyrcanus, l'chor he was a tzaddik, how could he all of a sudden decide to give all of his possessions to one son? Being Maver Nachla, Yerusha Ben Aachen. So the Yifei Toar, one of the Mefarshim, they're on the bottom of the Avos Rabbi Nasan, says maybe the only Isser of Havaras Nachla is only during a person's life. But if he's about to die, you know, then it doesn't apply. Maybe that's a difference. One. Second discussion is Inyan of the Yoma. Avram Avinu, it says, V'chol Tov Adonav Biyado. The Pasuk says, all the Tov Adonav is in his hands, and he gives everything to Yitzchak, and the Medrash quotes Zu Daidaki, that he designates almost all of his Yerusha for Yitzchak. And the question is, how could Abraham take away Yerusha from Yishmael? He threw him out of the house, but he's still a son. So how could he take away, halachically, if Abraham, assuming Abraham was Mekayim Kol Torah Kula, as we discussed last year, or 2 years ago, I think we had a shiur on it, no? Didn't we? One summer? So the Shavuos? I don't remember, but how could Avram take away Nachla? So again, the answer that the Feitor gives, Shalachoshim Lavaras Nachla Rak Beshriv Mira, Ili, right before he dies, O Baril Hamakne Lachar Misa. Avalamazake Matana Bachayevim is a Shem Chash. You're allowed to give presents during your life. So this Isser isn't, you know, you're allowed to give a present. Here, this whole thing, what's the whole two is on a different? Why it might not have been appropriate? Because it's not a present right now. So right now, it's snowing. That's going to happen later on. So that's why it is different. Okay, obviously, you might have different pshatim also that it quotes here on the bottom from in the Biur HaDaf, it quotes from the Baal HaTosfos on Chai Yisara, maybe it's different because Avram and Yishmael were Gerim. They were Gerim, and a Ger is not Yorish. It's not Yorish's father, or Hager. Two non-Jews, the Yarshin, Midrabanan. But two non-Jews that both converted, Gershon has got Ganshin Oladami. Therefore, they weren't included in the Yisra. He quotes the Be'er Sheva, that says maybe that's only somebody. What's the whole issue? Because you don't know what the grandchildren are going to be like. Here, Avraham Avinu knew, Baruch Kacho, what the grandchildren are going to be like. The B'nai Yishmael were not going to be, do any switches, even though Yishmael might have done tshuva. But Avraham Avinu already saw the future. And we see what was happening Bizman Hazeh. Okay, so maybe those are a couple of answers about how Avraham Avinu was Maver Nachla. And this is Lamaisa. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. We're not going to talk, I'll just mention it. You can look it up. In Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Beis, Simin Memtes, where somebody writes to him in 1979, L'chacham Echad, somebody does not have any children, Rahman al-Islan, and he wants to know what to do with his money. Should he give it to some other relative? Should he give it to Mostos HaTorah? Should he give it to, Aniyim? So Rav Moshe talks about how much he has to look for other Yarshim. Relatives, brothers, children, is that an Isra of Maver Nachla? What if you leave a little bit? What if you leave a little bit? So that's what he talks about in our Gemara. L'chore, he says, Abba Sarah left some for himself. It wasn't like he was giving everything. So, and there was still a potential problem of Maver Nachla. Okay, so that's, Rav Moshe discusses that in a tshuva. Let's continue. So right after the story, Ba'amine, about the 15th line or so. Rav Yemer Saba Meir Rav Nachman. Rav Yemer Saba asks from Rav Nachman, Machra Ksubasa Levaila. Let's say a woman sells the rights to her ksuba to her husband. She really wants to get a certain piece of jewelry. The husband, it's not Yantif, he's not there buying it for her. So she says, I'll sell you the rights to my ksuba. And there's a risk involved. Because if the woman dies first, then he didn't have to sell it. He'll never have to pay it anyway. But here, she sold it. She wants some money now. She needs some liquid assets. So she sells the ksuba. So the question is, once she sold the rights to her ksuba, what about the tsna'i ksuba? Do those also disappear when she sells her ksuba? Yesh la ksuba zman adichren or ain la ksuba zman adichren? Does she still have, meaning, if she dies, and then the husband dies, do her sons still get the designated ksuba zman adichren or not? The Shita Mukubet says, quotes, what's the suffix here? How much is ksubas ban indichrin a schus that only becomes reality after she dies? And then she can't sell something that's not here now. Or do we say, no, this is something that's here now, it goes through her. It's a right of her that goes through her and then to her children, to her sons. So that's the suffix here. Does she have the right to sell it? So says the Gemara, Amalei Rava, Vitibay Le Mocheles, Rava says, Actor of Nachman, why do you ask me selling? Why didn't you ask me Mocheles? What if she's Mocheles Ksuba? Honey, we have such a great relationship. You don't have to pay me the Ksuba if something happens. She's Mochel for whatever reason. So why didn't you ask me that, Kasha? So Amalei Rav Nachman, Rav Yemer Saba answers back to him. No, I'm sorry, this is a different person. Amalei Rava piped in, why didn't he ask him Mocheles? So Amalei answers back, no. Hasha Mocheles Kami Barley. I'm even asking a case where she sells it. The Avagav Digla Memer Zuzi Ansua Damina Kamanda Kamachula Meya Uchle Ba'uchla. Even though she sold it, which might be a case of Onesh, she was forced. She's in a state where she might have been netanas for the money. So there you might have said she's forced. For sure there, you're going to say her kids get besuvas by nedechrin. She was like, netanas. She needs the money now, so she sold it. It's as if you're whipping her. Meya ochle ba'ochle. You're like whipping her with these little metal balls at the end of the whip. Meaning maybe she's being forced to do it by mocheres. And yet, even by Mocheres, I have the question that maybe her kids should lose the Ksubas Ban and Dechrin. Mocheres mi boy. So Mocheres for sure, she's doing it willingly. Of course they would lose it. So I'm not even asking that. So, what's the halacha in this case? Even before we see what the halacha is, the Rishonim ask an obvious question here. They're quoted from the Rif in the Tshuva, which all the Rishonim quote here. And that is, she could be Mocheles or Ksuba? Isn't there an Isser? Also, we're going to have later on in the Masechta. It's also to live with your wife, we mentioned many times, without a ksuba, even for a second. So what do you mean she's mocheles the ksuba? What, even if you say, what we'll do it, different ways to look at mocheles. Is mechila saying, I'm removing myself? Or even if you say, it's as if I got it. Kilu is kabalti. So what? Even if you say, it's as if I got it, but she doesn't have the ksuba now. Isn't the Issa Drabana, we're going to have later on, pretty soon, that it's also to live with your wife, even for a moment, without a ksuba? So how could you be mocheles here? So all the Rishonim trying to struggle to figure out what's the case here. Some say it's right before she died, so they didn't live together again. Maybe say she was a mochel, the Iker, just the Tosefes. And the Tanakh Suva should go with the Tosefes. The Ritva here quotes both of those opinions from the Rif. Then he goes, the Ritva himself says, no, I just think, so maybe they're doing an Isser. So what? So she was mocha, let they're living together in sin. Still. So she's no, she has the power to do that. They're living by Avera. But still, the Gemara is asking, what about the Tanakh Suva? Either way, the Rishonim here discuss how that works. How that works with the whole question, if there's no Ksuba, how can they live together at all? Okay, that's the question. So Amar Rava. So let me answer some of the questions. Pshitali mocher ksubas alacherim, if she sells a ksuba to others, not her husband. If she sold her ksuba to others, again, she's pressed for money. She goes over to her neighbor. I'll sell you the rights to my ksuba. So that it's a risk because if she dies first, the man gets nothing. Right, this neighbor gets nothing if she dies first. He's only going to get something if he dies first or he divorces her. So if she sells the ksuba to somebody else, yesh la ksuba is b'anin d'echran. Then for sure we say she was ba'ones. She was ba'ones. She was forced. She needed the money. So we don't want to fault the sons. We don't want to hurt the sons. So she does. So her sons do get ksuba is b'anin d'echran. My time. Oh, I zuzi ansuo. We assume that the money, she was so pressed for money, she did it even though she didn't really want to. Mochel ksuba to the law. On the other hand, if she's mochel ksuba to her husband, ain't ksuba is b'anin d'echran. We see she's so freely getting rid of her ksuba, it's kal be'eneha, so therefore we say she loses her ksuba's bun and different too. My taima achuli achilte, because she's being mochelosit. She's totally making the chiyuv disappear. It's not like there's still a chiyuv, like there is, when she sells it to somebody else, it still exists, and the question is she just sold it. Here to her husband, she's totally uprooting it. So, but what about the middle case? Boi rava, mocheres ksuba's alabayla. What if she sells the ksuba to her husband? Selling it to somebody else, the for sure is a ksuba's bun and different. Mochel to her husband, the for sure is no ksuba's bun and different. What if she sells it to her husband? K'mocheres l'acherim dami, do we consider it as if she sold it to others, and therefore, meaning she's forced. She was forced. Even to her husband, if she was forced, and therefore there would still be a ksuba's bun and different. O k'mocheles l'bayla dami, or do we compare it to mocheles l'bayla, meaning she's uprooting the whole chiyuv right now, and therefore there would not be a ksuba's bun and different. Basar d'baya hada pashta. If the rabbi had the question, he came up with the answer. Mocheres ksubasa labayla, kumacheres lacherim dami. All mechira is the same, meaning we assume she was forced, it wasn't her fault, and therefore she would get, her children would get a ksubis banin dechrin. Okay. Interesting, Tosfos Rid here, we haven't really mentioned the Tosfos Rid as much as we should have. Tosfos Rid is on the daf. Tosfos Rid here has two deos, right in the beginning of the wide lines. Two deos. What would you say, could we learn from this Gemara? Let's say Reuven goes over to Shimon. Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, I'm going to make a kinyon with you that I'm going to give Levi $100. They make a kinyon. Reuven goes to Shimon and makes a kinyon that I'm going to give Levi $100. Could Shimon be mochel? Can Shimon say, oh, you don't have to give it? Can we learn from this Gemara that a middle person can be mochel, even though it's not their chiyuv? Right? What happened here? The woman's in the middle, the husband is going to pay the woman, eventually going to her kids. How much is that true, or how much is it going directly to her kids? So the Tosfos Rid has two deos. Can we learn from this Gemara that, you know, Shimon in that case can be mochel because he's the middle person? Or do we say that, no, she's not really anything. It's going directly to the kids. It's not really going to her, to her kids. Maybe you could say it relates to what we said before. It's a chiyuv that starts after she dies. It's a schus that starts after she dies, going directly from the husband to the children. So he has two deos about that case. If there's a middle person by a transaction, can they be mochel? Okay. Next. So we just stated that anytime we can say it's considered forced, her kids are still going to get the ksubas banin dechrin. So Masa Rabbi Dibar Avin, we had the Mishnah in Meseches Yevamos, Mesa ksubasa, Mesa, remember this case? Where she gets remarried based on the testimony of one aid, and then her husband walks into the room. Right? So she thought that her husband was dead. But she obviously didn't do her proper research. What's the halacha? Beginning of Heisha Rabbah, in Yarshin Selzev, and Yarshin Selzev, Yarshin Ksubasa. Both sets of Yarshin, her new husband and her old husband, lose the Ksuba. So says the Gemara, Vahabinaba, Ksuba Mayavidita, what Ksuba? The previous line of the Mishnah said she gets no Ksuba anymore. She lost her Ksuba. Right? She broke up the marriage. So what do you mean her Yarshin don't get the Ksuba? She has no Ksuba. So Vam Rapapa Ksuba's Banan Dechrin. So Rapapa says, it means the Ksuba's Banan Dechrin. Not only does she lose her Ksuba, she loses the Ksuba's Banan Dechrin. So they ask the Gemara, Vamai, Hachanami, Lema, Yitzer Ansa. Just like we just said, that anytime she's considered forced, so her kids will still get the Ksuba's Banan Dechrin. So to hear, why don't we say, Yitzer Ansa. Once one aide comes and says her husband died, she's dying for a husband. She's dying to be married. So if she has any basis that her husband died, she has such a tie to get married. Why don't we consider that an ones? Look at the first wide line in Rashi. Shai Miss Avelabal. She's had such a desire for her husband. The Gemara's going to say later on, a woman even more than a husband has this burning desire to be married. So why don't we say that this is also like a type of ones? So Gemara says, you're right, but Hasam Kansu Huta Kansu Rabbanan. No, it's a knas. Because why? We learned in Masechas Yevamos a number of times. Part of the reason why we allow a woman to be married based on the testimony of Eid Echad is Isha Daika Uminsava. Because there's an assumption that she checks it out very well. So here she obviously didn't. So therefore we're Koneser. Again, maybe even if she did, it's still a tragedy, but we can't have Chilukim. She needs Vadai evidence. Okay, Yosef Rav Bar Chanina came to Rav Chisda. Rav Chanina was sitting in front of Rav Chisda. Yosef came to Mishpeh Rav Elazar. He was saying the name of Rav Elazar. New halacha. Mochelas tubas alabayla. Let's say a woman is mochel her ksuba, ein la mizonos. If another tsnai ksuba. If a woman is mochel her ksuba to her husband, does she lose her mizonos? What mizonos are we talking about? Rashi says, ba'al menusa, when her husband dies. Meaning, mizonos, while she's married, the Rush explicates this, that she can't be mochel. Why? That's either a din daraisa, as we had before, she'eruk susa vonasa. If it's not a din daraisa, it's a separate takana derabanan. Mizonos tachas maisi yadayim. So that for sure, while she's alive, you know, that's nothing to talk about. The question is, what about after she dies? One of the tanaik suba is that after the husband dies, the woman can stay supported until, right, different gersos we had in our Mishnah, until she gets remarried or until the yarshan decides to give her ksuba. So what happens to that? If she's mochel her ksuba, does she lose this tanaik suba? So amar lei. So the answer, Ravin Bar Chanina or Belazar answered, Amar Lei, you love the comment, let me show you the Gabar Rabba. Had you not asked this question in the name of a great person, I would have told you, that's not even a question at all. If somebody gets good and gives bad in place of it, Ra'a will never leave it his house. I mean, this woman is doing a favor to him. She's being mochelis. You're going to say she loses her mizonos? So I would say, answers the Gemara, that this isn't even a question. Period. Yosef Rav Nachman of Ula, Bavimi Bar Rav Papi, V'Yosef Rav Chiya Bar Ami Gabayu. So these rabbis were sitting in front of Rav Chiya Bar Ami. Asahu Gavra, the Shriva Arusaso. A man walks into the Beis Din, and his Arusa, the woman he had Arison with, had died. Amri Lei, these group of rabbis sitting there, said to this man, Zil Kvar Ohav Laksubasa. Go bury her. It's your responsibility. Either go bury her, and if not, go give her ksuba. Meaning what? Her ksuba of 200? Meaning throw the ksuba, and then the people around will bury her with that ksuba. Bury her or give her the ksuba. So Amalahu Rav Chiya, who was sitting there, says, really? This is the halacha? Tanina, didn't we learn in a braisa? Ishto arusa. What's the halacha with an arusa? A woman who's an arusa, lo onem lo matami lo. There is no, if a woman dies while she was an erisin, her arus, does not have halachas of an onen. What does that mean? Midaraisa, what's the halacha of an onen? Kachim. Is it e-kachim? So he's allowed to e-kachim. Why? Because they're not called married. That's just erisin. V'lo mitami la. And he does not, if he is a kohen, he is not allowed to become tame for her, even though there's a mitzvah for him to become tame for his seven relatives. This is not called one of his seven relatives. And also v'chein she, and also she, sorry, lo onenes, she does not observe aninus for him, v'lo mitame la, and she does not become tame for him. We'll get back to that. Mesa ena yarsha, if she dies, he does not yarshin her meishu. If he dies, go v'ksubasa. She gets the ksuba. Assuming the Rishonim talk about, assuming it was written mishas erison, or it was a case where you hold arusa yish l'ksuba. But if he dies, she gets the ksuba. Taima de meishu. So we now are medayik. The only reason that she gets the ksuba is because he died. Ha meishi. If she dies, ain l'ksuba. Then the ksuba is not collectible. My taima. So why isn't the ksuba collectible if he died, if she dies, Bashas Erisin, Amar Avoshia, She'ena Ani Kori Baluk Shetanas Ilacher, Tidli Mashakosav Lechi. Because the Tanaik Suba are about, what does it say in there? When you married somebody else, you can have all the Tanaik Suba that apply. But here, it's not going to apply because she's dead. So Rav Chiya was saying that this Chiyav does not apply. There's no Chiyav of Kfura Tachas Ksubasa. Rashi even explains that they misunderstood what Kfurasa Tachas Ksubasa means. They thought Kfurasa Tachas Ksubasa means bury her or pay her the Ksuba. We know that's not true. Ksubasa means nidunya that he brings into the marriage. The nidunya that he gets instead of, and right, in lieu of, but of course she gets that, so he has to pay her he has to pay for her kfura. But here he didn't get the nidunya. So they had a misunderstanding of what that halacha meant. Period. Okay. So what does it mean, velo mitamilo? The Braisa said, she does not become tummy for him. So, in the other way, it said he is not allowed to become tummy for her because he's a Kohen. What do you mean she doesn't become tummy for him? Right? Let's say she's an Ashes Kohen. Right? That's the most chomer we could have. Ashes Kohen is allowed to become tummy. So what's the Braisa talking about? What do you mean? Oh, she's not allowed to become tummy for him. Yes, she can. She can become tummy for anybody she wants. So Rashi quotes, what does Rashi quote? Fourth line, Eina chayeves li tummy lo. No, it means she's not obligated. Of course she can. But she's not obligated to become tummy for him. That's Shitas Rashi. If you look in Rashi Maseches Yevamos, back on Daf Chaf Tes, Rashi has another Odeya. Maybe it means Yontif. On Yontif, it's a mitzvah of Tara Asma Beregel, mitzvah to become Tara on Yontif. So maybe that's what it means. It's usur for her, right, on Yontif. She is Mechuyev, it's not to become tummy. That's what we're talking about. There's no mitzvah for her to become tummy on Yontif. That's a Deya that Rashi brings in Maseches Yevamos. There's a big discussion in the post-gim, does this apply to Zman HaZeh, this halacha of being Matar Asma Beregel. Right, the Ber Hetev on Shulchan Aruch discusses whether this applies in Shin Ayin Gimel. What's the reason for becoming Tar Beregel? Is it to Ikachim? So then it doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh. Right? Is it to walk into the base of Midrash? Doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh. He quotes, maybe there's an idea of something spiritual, Miramezes, Hatar, Altaras HaNefesh, Ki Ayide Taras HaGuf, Ma'oreu Mezakech Taras HaNefesh, Kadisa Bekamen Bekomos, Bereshus Chachma, Ubishla, Zebar, Gochazer Yereshus Chachma. It's a Kabbalistic sefer. So there's something spiritual. If you want to go to the mikvah on Erev Yontif, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is also a separate idea. But that is a discussion in the poskim whether that misapplies to Zman HaZeh. Erev Shabbos, the Chassam Sofer was very machpid to quote that to go on Erev Shabbos. And the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this in beginning of Reis Samach. He says, Nagu Rov Yisrael, not if it's Rov anymore, Rov Yisrael, Leilach Lamerchas Be'erev Shabbos, Be'bidei Kavet Shabbos. V'yishogim Lutvol Gaba Mikvah, Be'bidei Kedushas HaShabbos. V'yashrei Chelkom, De'bazem Mamshichan Aleim Shefa Kedusha Me'Shabbos Kodesh. Okay? If you have the mikvah, the minhag to go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, wonderful. Tov Aleichem Bracha. But that is originally probably focused from the halacha of Erev Yontif. But again, this is the halacha, we got into this from the idea of an Ashes Kohen being metame yourself. We said there's no chiyuv for her to be metame yourself. Interesting discussion. The poskim discuss, what about an Ashes Kohen who's pregnant going to a levaya? As a discussion in the Rokeh, according to the poskim. Because an Ashes Kohen, she might have a little baby boy Kohen inside of her. So is she allowed to go to levaya? So many times women call up, can I go to a cemetery? So the first kasha is, are you a, right? If it's not an Ashes Kohen, then it's not a halacha question. It's just more of a, you know, ayin hara type of a minhag, and it depends on the one's minhag. Ashes Kohen, then already it's a pesach to have a question. Question is, post can say, maybe it's a svek sveka. Maybe she'll miscarry, and even if she won't, maybe it's a girl. So either way, it's still a svek sveka lakula that she'd be able to go, because it's not a nefesh anymore. Either way, that's a question. That's the only time when you have an Ashes Kohen, it's shayach to talk about besides the yontif issue. What if she had a sonogram, right? Then you take away, so how much? That comes up a lot of times. What if you have a sonogram, kaparis? Kaparis, you always have to take two for kaparis, right? So what if you know what it is? So, it's a question. Well, how much do sonograms, go reflect and have input on halachas which are based on suffix? Yeah.
So the children who are not bar mitzvah, they're also not
The children who are not bar mitzvah, boys mitam chinuch. Yeah, mitam chinuch, but little boys kohenim are not allowed to go in.
But that's mitam chinuch. In other words,
me ikara din ka ktanim are not mitzuvah, not
eris. That's right. So, and this is not even considered a full person.
Right, right. So this, so right, but so enachinami. So I think we're meikel. Have to look. I think we're meikel. But right, even ktanim, you know, might have flexibility. You're saying so. Surely here. Okay, let's continue. Kiyasa Rabban Amar Reish Lakish Arusa Shemesa in Laksuba. Arusa that dies, she does not get the Ksuba, the rights to the Ksuba. Amalu Abaya. So when Rabban came, he said the name of Reish Lakish. So Abaya says, Zilu. Abaya says to him, Gleave. Zilu. Amri Lay. Shikla Tivusech. Shadia Chizri. Your goodness is thrown on the thorns. Meaning, what do you bring to me? Kfar Tirgama Rahoshiel is rights of Babel. We already know this. We already know this from Babel. We already know this statement, so you're not telling me any new chidusha. Okay. But I know from the end of the Minoi. So the Brisa said, all the girls that, one of the Tanaik Suba is all the girls that the person has who can get fed from his estate until they get married. So Rav Machlokes, what exactly is the Girsa of the Mishnah? Rav Tani Adatokachim Gavrin, Rav says, until they get married. Girls, the daughters have mizonos until they get married. The Levi Tani Achativgrun, until they become bogros, until they become of age. So the Rav Avagav Debagar, the Levi Avagav Insiv, are they mutually exclusive that each one of them will not hold of the other shita? Versus no. Ella bagar below insiv lo bagar. If you have either one, if you have marriage or bagrus, the kuliam lo pligi. Everybody agrees that she's finished. Mizonos only goes until either bagrus or nisuin. Ki pligi barusav lo bagar. The machlokas between Rav and Levi is what if she had erisin and she's not a bogaris yet? So is erisin enough to destroy her chiyav mizonos, her zechus and mizonos? That's the machlokas between them. Rav says, until she's taken, and she was taken. Levi says, no, she wasn't taken yet, and she's not a bogaris yet. Also, Levi writes in his Masnisei, Rashi quotes here that Levi was Masadir Brises on all Sisha Sidrei Mishnah. So Levi writes in his Brisa, Adativgurin v'yamtiz amnei on the insavun, until she becomes a bogaris, and she gets married. Tarti, what do you mean? You need both? Obviously not. Elo odativgurin o yamtiz amnei on the isnasva, until she becomes a bogaris, or it becomes time for her to get married. Period. Kitanoi, let's say this is a machlokas tanoim about in the case of Arusa. And Masay Abbas Nizonis, how long until when does a daughter get Mizonos? Achita Aris, the first opinion says, until she has Arison. Mishir Mebelezer, Omer, Achitivgar, until she becomes a Bulgaris. So it's a machlokas tanoim. This machlokas Rav and Levi, the late tanoim, if you call Rav a Tana, is a pal machlokas of the earlier tanoim. Tani Rav Yosef had a Brisa, Adehevion. She has Mizonos until she becomes. Until she has Havaya. So Ibayaluhu, Havaya de Erison, Havaya de Nisuin. What does Havaya mean? Havaya can mean different things. Teku, so we're unclear exactly what Havaya means. Period. Amalei, Rav Chizkiya, Rav Yosef, Rav Chizkiya, Rav Yosef. Rashi points out that he must not have known the previous discussion, because they're about to ask the same kasha. Mi shami alocha minei de Rav Yehuda? Did you ever hear in the name of Rav Yehuda, Arusa yeshla mazonos or yenla mazonos? Does an Arusa get mazonos? So we know it's a machlokas tanoim, we just had it. So did you ever hear anything about it? So Amalei, mishpat lo shami alei, I never heard anything about it. Ela misvara lesla, but I would think she does not have. It's like, relates to what we discussed yesterday about halachic intuition. Even though there was no Masorah, but he had a halachic intuition. So he says, I didn't hear anything about it, but Misvara, I would think not. Arusa does not get Mizonos. Why? Kivan de Irsa, because once she becomes an Arusa, lo nichale de titzel. Once she becomes an Arusa, if the Arus sees that she's not taking care of from her family, the Arus is going to come in and take care of her, even though he doesn't have to. He loves her, he's marrying her. So we have nothing to worry about. She does not need Mizonos at this time. Amar le, imishva lo shami locha Misvara isla. I would say just the opposite, he says Misvara. Kivan de lo kim lo begava, he only had Arison. He doesn't know exactly if he's going to go through with it. Maybe he'll find a mum. Maybe he'll realize something about her that he does not like and he won't want to marry her. So he's not going to do it. So I think we should keep the Mizonos going through Arison from the father. Igada Amre, others have the same exact conversation, but which comment was first? Amar Le Mishra, first he answered him, Mishra Lo Shami Le Misvara Isla. I would say she should get Misvara. Kivin Lo Kim Lo Begava Lo Shadi Izuzi Bechti. People won't throw away their money. Amar Le Mashra Lo Shami Lecha Misvara Lesla. I would say no, Misvara she does not get. Kivin De Irsa Lo Nicha Le De Titzel. Because once she had Erisin, so then the Aris will not want her to become Misbasa. Okay. Simin De Gavri Shak Zarek Miana V'Yivama Shnia Rusavansa. Boy, my name is Erev Sheshes. Okay, now we have five questions at least about different women. Do they still have mizonos from the father? Mimma enes. Yesh la mizonos or ain la mizonos? Does a mimma enes get mizonos or not? What's a mimma enes? Remember from Maseches Yevamos, a woman who gets married midrabanan, right? Her father's dead, and her brothers and mother are marrying her off. That's an ishus midrabanan, meaning before she becomes 12 years old, she's allowed to walk out of the marriage. Do mi'un. What's the halacha if she walks out of the marriage? Is as if the marriage didn't take place. That's mi'un. So let's say that happened. She goes back, it's as if the marriage, she was married for a year or two, then she does mi'un, she comes back to her father's house. Could she get mizonos now? It's as if she wasn't married. So could she now eat mizonos from her father's house? Amar Rav Sheshes Tani Tua. Didn't we learn it in a brisa? Almana bebeis avia. In almana, Rashi explains min ha'erison. An almana min ha'erison who goes back to her father's house. Vigrusha bebeis avia. Or a grusha from ha'erison that goes back to her father's house. Vishameris yavim bebeis avia. Yesh la mizonos. And all these women do have mizonos from the father. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Ode bebeis avia yesh la mizonos. Rabbi Yehuda says, as long as she's still in the father's house, she has mizonos. Eina bebeis avia ain la mizonos. If she's not, she does not have. So they asked the Gemara, "Who did Haynu Tanakama?" They just said the same thing. They both said, "If you're in the father's house, you get mezonos. What's the difference?" Let's suggest that this case of me'enes is the difference. The Tanakama suffer Islam. The Tanakama says me'enes does get because she is bebeis aviha. And Abiyuda suffer leslar. Abiyuda says no, she's not because she's not oda. She left the house. Now she came back, but she still left the house. So it's really a machlokas tanaim. Period. What's this machlokas about? They both agree that me'enes, the marriage didn't happen. Right, is uprooted, Loma Freya, you can't argue with that halacha. So what are they arguing about? What are they arguing about that if she was never married, she's back in the father's house, so what are they arguing about?
Once you leave, you never go back.
But it's as if she never left. Right? It's as if. How much is as if? Oh. So as we mentioned before, when we have something in halacha that's uprooted retroactively, there are two different ways to look at it. Do we say it's uprooted retroactively and it mamish never happened and there's nothing left? That's called Loma Freya, Loma Freya. Or do we say, no, even if something is uprooted, we still acknowledge that it existed in its time. The effects of it now are uprooted. So that could be the machlokas. If Yehuda says, you're right, it's uprooted halachically, but it still existed. And if you want to look, there's a beautiful version of that in Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim in Hilchas Ishus, right in Hilchas Ishus in Beis Tes, writes this formulation. That devadai dina miyin hu afkal ikir akidushin l'mafreya. It's obviously uprooted. Ella. To be called makom lo mahani afkas amil leinian shenema shagam b'shaitan kodem amil lo hayi kiddushin chalim v'kayamin ba'oz. Let's say she ate peiros. She ate stuff of his during the marriage. What, she has to pay everything back now as if it never happened? No, it obviously happened in its time, says Reb Chaim. It just means after the miyun, we look at it now as if it didn't happen. Mikana lahaba l'mafreya. But it's not l'mafreya l'mafreya. So that could be the shita of Rabbi Yehuda here. The Tanakama might hold otherwise. Tanakama might hold in mamish never happened. Period. We will continue with these other women tomorrow. And we also start Perek Chamishi, Be'ezus Hashem, Perek Afapi. We'll start tomorrow.